I'd like you to turn with me to the second epistle of Timothy, in the first chapter. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. For those of you who were present with us on Friday, you remember that I shared what I feel is a burden in my own heart as I have moved about extensively in the past years amongst the assemblies in New South Wales, especially in the country areas, of what seems to me sometimes to be a tragedy, the tragedy of assemblies that don't grow, assemblies that close down, work that seems to lack power to progress, while on all the hands, of course, we see in other places, work that does grow. Perhaps of the two, one of the things that is sad is to see the drift of many of the Lord's people from assemblies, as we are, into other churches. Not that that's wrong in itself, but I think it's a tragedy that they have to go. And having searched my own heart and looked at things as I've come into contact with them, there were two things that I felt impressed me, two of our great needs today amongst us as companies of the Lord's people, if there's to be growth and if we're to hold on to these folk and build them up in the things of the Lord. On Friday we thought about the question of leadership. Leadership in the assemblies of God's people. Today I want to talk about something that I feel is equally important, the ministry of the Word of God amongst us in our assemblies. I believe that both these are very important things today that we need well to look to. And as I said on Friday, that the motivation for leadership must be the love of the flock of God, a concern for God's things and for God's people. And so when we come to think about the ministry of the Word of God, the motivation is, of course, the same motivation, a concern for the things of God, a love for His people. And if I may say it, a love for the gatherings of the Lord's people as we seek to represent. Today I want to share with you some of my own personal burden with regard to the exercise in our midst of a teaching ministry of the Word of God. And I'd like to read first of all from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and reading at verse 6. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. That word committed, that which I have committed. The word is that deposit, that trust that I have committed in him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing that trust which was committed unto thee to keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Let's go on to chapter 2, verse 1. Same epistle, chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Perhaps at the stage of Israel's greatest departure, one of the sad things that was said of them, that there was no king and there was no teaching priest. No teaching priest. And what a sad thing it is when amongst the people of God there is not the teaching of the Word of God. For all of us today would agree that it is the very life of any church, of any group of believers. It is essential to that very life that there is a teaching of the Word of God, an effective teaching of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul has shown to us that the Church of God is the body of Jesus Christ. He is the only risen head, and each one of us are members of that living body. We are all united and energized by the one Holy Spirit who indwells us. And I think the in word today is the word body life. I hear that coming up in so many ways, but it means the same thing, doesn't it? We're all members of a body. We're all partakers of the one Spirit. We are all energized by the one power, even the gracious Holy Spirit himself. That body of our Lord Jesus Christ, to which we all contribute, to which we all belong, because of our union with Christ himself, is shown in the Word of God to be self-sufficient. It is self-generating. The risen Lord has given to it everything that it needs for its perpetuation, for its ongoing ministry. And it's developed and it's built by the exercise of the spiritual gifts that have been bestowed upon it by the risen head. But amongst the many gifts that God has given to the church, and there is a wide variety, all that are essential to the life and progress and maintenance of the body, I believe that one very important thing is the gift of the teaching and the feeding of God's people. Let's turn for a moment to the Epistle to the Ephesians and the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at these familiar words that perhaps we read carelessly at times without sufficient thought. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Speaking of the gifts of the risen Lord, in verse 11 he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Some people like to put those two things together as one. Some people like to separate them. Well, you make your thought about that. But either way, here are two essential things in the life of the church. Some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Notice what it says in the beginning. And he gave. They're not the bestowings of men. They're not merely natural abilities, although I do believe God uses our natural abilities. They are divine gifts poured out upon His church for the benefit of all. He gave. Now verse 12 tells us why He gave them. For the perfecting or the fitting of the saints for the work of ministry. He gave for the perfecting, for the edifying or the building up of the body of the Lord Jesus, till we all come in the unity of the faith to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave those things that were essential for the building up of God's people, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church, till we all come to that glorious stature of the fullness of Christ Himself. What greater privilege could be ours? What greater ministry could God have entrusted us with? And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are commissioned to do this. We cannot separate the doctrine of the church from the doctrine of the ministry of the Word of God. They are essentially one. The one cannot exist without the other. The church does not exist merely as a social contact. The church does not merely exist for our mutual fellowship, however wonderful that may be. It exists also for the building up and the preparation and the feeding of the flock of God through the ministry of the Word of God. The Lord's word to Peter in John chapter 21 was, "Feed my lambs." The Apostle Paul, in addressing the elders at Ephesus, said, "Feed the flock of God which He has purchased with His own blood." Peter, in exhorting the elders, says, "Feed." In that lovely passage in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, we read in that wonderful day, it says, "They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them." How important this thought of feeding is in the Word of God. You know, it's tremendously important in our daily lives, isn't it? You know, my wife often says, it seems as if it's all meals. It is in our house, I don't know about yours. It's all meals. How much time and energy and money we invest in this question of feeding. How important it is in the spiritual realm, in all of our lives, if the image of Christ is to be seen in us and in our churches, it will come as we are fed. And God has bestowed the church with those gifts in order, as Ephesians 4:11 tells us, that the church might feed and edify itself in love. I think that's verse 16. Now I want today, just for a few minutes, to just look at this under a number of headings. First of all, the essential nature of this teaching. We've just been dealing with that now. Then we'll have a look at some of the examples given to us in Scripture with regard to the ministry of the Word of God. We'll listen to the Apostle's exhortation to us, and we'll see how that is expressed in our lives and in our churches. How essential is it? It is essential because without it, the church cannot thrive. I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, that many of the Lord's people have left companies of Christians who gather such as we have because there was no ministry of the Word of God. They were starving. They were starving. There was no food. There was no preparation of the meal. And they went away hungry. There was no building up in the things of God. And they went away hungry. It is our responsibility as brethren and sisters in Christ to ensure that there is an ongoing ministry of the Word of God, a use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been placed amongst us for the development of our assembly work and testimony. We cannot exist without it. It is essential to our very life. Let's think about the example. We find, going back to the Gospels, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was a teacher. He taught in the synagogue. Let's go back to Mark's Gospel with you for a moment, chapter 1, and just read again, so familiar the words, but so precious to us. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 21. Here's the Lord at work. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one who spoke with divine authority, and not as the scribes. His teaching was recognized as becoming from God himself. Men felt the power of that ministry in their own hearts and lives. He taught. We find that the Lord, of course, taught both privately and publicly. But we're continually faced with a wonderful example of the Lord Jesus expending himself continuously in the teaching of the Word of God. The apostles taught. Turn over to Acts chapter 6, will you? And look at a thought there in the 6th chapter of Acts. Verse 2. Here's a crisis in the church as it grows, almost outgrowing itself. A crisis develops. But then in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not right, it is not advisable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Nothing wrong with serving the tables, don't misunderstand me. We need those in the church as well. But let's keep the context here. It's not right that we should leave the word of God and serve the tables. So he goes on to say, Look out, men among you of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom may I may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. How easy it is to get sidetracked, isn't it? How easy it would have been to become occupied with the serving of the tables and to have neglected the ministry of the Word of God. But the apostles were men who were aware of the need, and they recognized the problem had to be dealt with. And in their wisdom they made this decision. But they were determined that they would not themselves be deflected from the essential ministry of the ministry of the Word of God amongst God's people. Go down to verse 7 and see the result. And in verse 7, And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Have we got tied up with serving tables? Have we become diverted from the essential character of things? Brethren, isn't it so easy to be so busy as to accomplish nothing? I'm going to say this to us presently because I believe it in my heart that assemblies of God's people need to set aside men and women as the Lord may call to devote themselves to the ministry of the Word of God amongst us. If we don't, what we see today will only go on. How easy it is to be caught up in so many things and to neglect
the essential thing,
the ministry of the Word of God.
If we go over to the 20th chapter of Acts, and again in verse 20, here the apostle tells us his experience. Verse 20. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Down to verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over or amongst whom the Lord has made you to be overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I've kept nothing back from you, but I've taught you. And what energy, what devotion was applied to that teaching from the lips of the apostle. And you and I today are benefactors as a result of it. We're here today and can enjoy the things that he has handed down to us from God because of the devotion of that man to the things of the Lord. He made known to them the whole counsel of God. And you know, that takes a lot of doing, doesn't it? It doesn't happen all in a minute. It demanded time, energy, thought, prayer, and a long stay too. In chapter 11, we find that the apostle stayed for a whole year teaching the word of God. Would you be willing, brethren, to have a ministering brother for a whole year? I'd like to ask you to put up your hands if you would. Almost. But you see, it's the scriptural pattern, isn't it? Paul didn't come in for a one-night stand and try to preach the whole counsel of God in one night. He stayed there for a year. He stayed in Ephesus for 3 years and taught the word of God.
And so we could go to the book of Acts, if we had the time this afternoon to trace it. In chapter 15, in chapter 17, right the way through, we find the apostles are teaching the word of God, and the believers of Berea are applying themselves to that word, because it was essential. Is it any wonder that in the book of Acts you've got this constant repetition of the word, and the churches grew, the word of the God, Lord, multiplied, souls were added? What was the secret? An effective, ongoing ministry of the word of God. And the writers of the Hebrews could say concerning those in the church, in chapter 13, verse 7, they have spoken to you the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Paul speaks about certain elders there who labor in the word and in the doctrine. Labor. And you know, it's within the context that some of them receive money for doing it. Now that comes a bit hard to us as brethren, doesn't it? They got paid for doing the job. There were certain groups of elders, it would appear from the Timothy epistles, that received their remuneration so that they could devote time. Man's got to live. But here were men who were giving time for the ministry. I'd like to see a lot more of us in action in this way. How can a man devote himself to the ministry of the word of God if he hasn't the time? But perhaps he would have the time if we had the concern. It amazed me quite much when I read the story of the early brethren, and we're all very proud of it, but we don't know too much about it. But you know, the early brethren had full-time men doing the job. Men that were gifted and men that were capable, but men that were doing it in a full-time way, teaching in the local churches. I do believe we need to think carefully about these things as the Word of God would put them to us.
The examples of Scripture. Let's move on to the next thought, the exhortation of the Word of God with regard to ministry. Let's go back to the Roman Epistle and the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth, let him labor or mind his teaching. Someone has said, putting his heart into it. Let us wait on the ministry. Let us labor in the teaching. Because you see, it's something that demands labor. It's something that demands energy. It's something that isn't created without it. And so often our meetings are sterile because we have not been waiting on the ministry. The ministry doesn't come like a flash in your mind. I think some of us think it will. It comes as a result of the time that I spend in prayer and with the Word of God. You will never effectively stand up in an assembly and minister, my brother and my sister, in your capacity, without there has been time waiting on the ministry, putting your heart into it. And that's the thought that lies behind Romans chapter 12. Laboring to teach the Word of God. Now let's go back to our Timothy epistle, shall we? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, keeping in the mind the exhortation here, the Word of God with regard to our ministry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Notice the succession here. You can call it an apostolic succession, if you like, of the true type. Verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We have four steps there in the continuing ministry. First of all, the apostle himself, the things that thou hast received of me. Commit thou, there's Timothy, to faithful men, number three in the line, who in turn will be able to teach others also. You see, in considering the ministry of God in the church, not only have we got a responsibility to our assembly today, but what about tomorrow? What about the future? I have heard brethren express deep concern about the future of our assembly work. Why? Is it because we are failing to hand on the deposit of truth, as Paul exhorted Timothy? I not only have a responsibility to feed the flock now, but we have an essential responsibility to be forward-looking. What about tomorrow? What about the next generation? How will they fare if we have failed to hand on to them the precious deposit of the truth of the Word of God? Isn't this what Paul is saying here? Isn't this the exhortation? We have received a precious inheritance. Do we value it? I don't always think we do. But having got it, I can't just say, well, this is all mine. Amen. God doesn't leave it there. He has put a responsibility on every brother and sister here today to hand on the truth.
And we have got to, as assembly, if there is going to be a future, to ensure that we commit the word to faithful men who in turn will be able to teach others also. Are we doing this? Are we doing it in your assembly? Am I doing it in mine? Is this a burden with us? Are we preparing the next generation, handing on to them the precious things that God has taught us? Here is the exhortation of the apostle, that we must look out, reliable men. I'm going to add women because I'm sure it's an important thing. When Paul uses men here, he's not just thinking of males only. To hand on the truth, the deposit, the precious deposit that God has given to us, we've got to hand it on. And perhaps if I may again say this, because I believe as a company here today I can say this. If we believe, I said this on Friday, if we believe in the principle of the assembly as we are gathered together, I don't know whether you do or not, but if we believe in it, are we handing it on? Are our young people today growing up in the consciousness of why we meet as they do? And with a longing to maintain this before the Lord? Or is it a matter of no importance? Have we failed to hand on? Part of our ministry is the important aspect of the succeeding generation. We've got to be forward-looking. The Holy Spirit has made a provision for an ongoing ministry. And we are charged by Paul through the Holy Spirit with the responsibility of handing on the deposit of truth. What about the expression of the ministry? Let's just say a word about the teacher. Let's go back again to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1st Epistle of Timothy this time, and the 4th chapter. Let's read some words here about this important function of being a teacher of the Word of God. Sometimes afraid to use this word because, you know, we tend to think of, when we talk about an evangelist, we tend to think of someone who comes to our gospel hall and has a mission. You know, an evangelist isn't just a full-time man who comes and has a mission. It's anyone who is concerned for the spread of the gospel and who makes known the gospel. The teacher isn't just somebody who comes to a conference platform and stands up here. It's each one of us who have a concern for passing on the Word of God have got to be concerned about the teaching of the Word of God. You young men, don't criticize your elders that they don't teach us. Get on with the teaching. It's your responsibility as well as theirs. Now, what are the characteristics of the teacher? Well, chapter 4 and verse 11. Verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. The first thing, be thou an example to the believers. My dear brother, if you're not an example to the believers, don't get on your feet, you're wasting your time. You'll never be a teacher that will have any power or effectiveness in the life of God's people if you don't live up to what you teach. Be thou an example to the believers. Verse 13, till I come, devote yourself, devote your attention to the public reading of the Word of God, to exhortation and to instruction. Devote yourself. Example, devotion. How much time this week have you spent meditating in the Word.
How much time this month have you spent devoting yourself to the Word? Here's Paul saying this to a would-be teacher. Devote yourself to the Word of God. And how do I devote myself? Can I say only by denying myself? Young men, brethren, sisters in Christ, you'll never gain anything from the Word of God if you're not prepared to deny yourself in time to give to it. We live in an age of pleasure seeking, and I'm sad to say that I find this so apparently among so many of the Lord's people. We have no time to devote ourselves. Can I say it kindly? Why are there so many empty seats in this conference today? Oh, I suppose many people would have reasonable excuses. Is it not because we are not devoted? Why is the ministry meeting in the assembly always the struggling thing? Is it because we're not devoted? How will we ever be teachers of the Word of God if we don't devote ourselves to the Word of God? Let's go down the line. Don't be careless or don't neglect the gift that's within you. The next one is meditate, verse 5, be diligent in these things. And the final thing, that your profiting might appear to everybody. It works like that, you know. If you're devoted, if you're diligent, if you're meditating, it'll soon become apparent to everybody else, because God will raise up the gift within your own heart. These things do, said Paul. Very briefly, there are many aspects of the teaching of the Word of God. I've been fascinated recently by the cause of mutual teaching. There's a number of scriptures in the New Testament where we're told to mutually exhort one another. Teaching isn't always necessarily on a platform level. It's right down at the grassroots of our personal relationship with one another. Paul is constantly exhorting us to minister to one another, to admonish one another, to teach and train one another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another. All those thoughts are within the New Testament concept. One another. You know, you may never stand on a platform in a conference. Don't imagine that's the apex of Christian work, will you? It's not at all. But you know, right down where you are, at the grass level, as we often say, there we can together admonish and help and minister to one another. We haven't time to stop on that thought, but only to leave it with you. How important it really is to teach and admonish one another in the things of the Lord. Finally, I'd like just to bring to you the expression or the exposition of the Word of God. I haven't time to deal with it today, but only just to say one or two things that are in my heart. First of all, I believe there is an urgent need today in our assembly to overhaul our program of Bible teaching. The phrase "the leading of the Spirit," while it may be very wonderful, has become a cliche, which so often is an excuse for our inability to provide a consecutive, instructive, ongoing Bible teaching in our assemblies today. Each church, each assembly should have a Bible teaching program which over a course of years will instruct the Lord's people in the whole counsel of God. We cannot do this merely by having people who stand up ad lib, ad hoc, We must control it. We must guide it as elders and those who have responsibility. We should order these things to ensure that there is an ongoing ministry, a teaching of the Word of God that will build up the saints of God. And I think we should discourage the kind of ministry that is not consecutive in its character, but make use immensely of our local gift and look at the long-term needs of our assembly. We need to plan our ministry. And there is a need that in each one of our assemblies we should set apart brethren and sisters in Christ in their particular spheres for the ministry of the Word of God. Let's recognize the gifts that God has given us and use those gifts. As I often say, you know, if I went to an assembly and they were short of a pianist, they wouldn't ask me to play. I wouldn't have a clue. But don't we do this with our ministry? Aren't we prepared to put this into the hands, can I say it kindly, brethren, of amateurs? Not that any one of us can't prepare themselves for the ministry. We should all be doing that. But the care and teaching of the Word of God is something that the Lord holds precious and should be a real concern to us today in our assemblies of the Lord's people. We need very carefully to examine the means and ways by which the Word of God is being taught amongst us, that the Lord might raise up, and I believe we ought to pray that the Lord will raise up men of God to teach us the Word of God. You know, just before I came out, a thought struck me. And I wonder if maybe what we really need, you know, is a refresher course. A course of ministry or teaching, a Bible school for those who are teachers of the Word of God in our assemblies, that we might consider and learn how best we can provide in the life of our local churches the ministry that will feed the flock of God. May the Lord make it our prayer today, as it was of those apostles in Acts chapter 6. We will give ourselves wholeheartedly to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God, for his name's sake.